Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. Casinos have traditionally had a less than stellar track record when it comes to their anti-money laundering efforts, but now, amid increased scrutiny on AML compliance by regulators, the American Gaming Association has released its first ever AML Best Practices guidebook, which is described as, quote, a milestone for the gaming industry. Fred Curry, a principal in Deloitte's anti-money laundering consulting practice, says that while banks have had leading-edge AML programs, casinos don't consider themselves to be banks, despite the fact that they have telewindows, transfer huge amounts of money, make loans, and exchange currencies. As a result, they don't have anywhere near the AML muscle that banks have. As the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network pressures casinos to up their game, many are scrambling to play catch-up. In this week's podcast, we talk to Curry about the new guidebook, whether it goes far enough, and what other businesses can learn from the increased scrutiny on casinos. We ask Curry to discuss the unique challenges casinos face on the AML front, and how their efforts compare to the standards in place at banks and other financial firms.
The fact that casinos are not just in the hospitality and entertainment industry, but also are considered financial institutions with respect to the AML regulations pose challenges. You know, casinos typically have operated as hospitality and entertainment enterprises. However, when you look at their activity, they handle large volumes of cash. They cash checks. They process wires. They extend credit. They perform a lot of the transactions that a financial institution does, and really have not yet developed the policies, procedures, and processes and systems to monitor this activity as a financial institution regulated under the AML regulations would. I would say, in addition, when you look at the banking and financial sectors, there's more written guidance around compliance with AML requirements. And for casinos over the past 10 years, there has been less written guidance from regulators and from the industry. So the casinos have lagged a bit behind, you know, in terms of applying written guidance and best practices to how they interact and monitor their patrons' activity. Also, there have been fewer law enforcement actions relating to casinos, and these enforcement actions typically set out the framework of what a good program would look like, and so the casino industry really hasn't been able to benefit from enforcement actions that kind of serve as, you know, de facto guidance around AML compliance. And I would say another challenge is in this environment, the IRS has raised the standards and have required more comprehensive anti-money laundering programs. And, you know, with this dearth of guidance and experience, you know, this has also posed challenges for casinos.
How important is it that the American Gaming Association has released this first ever AML Best Practices Guidebook? What are some of the recommendations in the guidebook, and how much work will casinos have ahead of them to achieve these best practices?
It raises the standards. You use the term, Joe, best practices, and that terminology is probably really debated. A lot of professionals in the industry say these are standards, not yet best practices, because there's much more work to be done. When you look at the 17-page guidance, you find so many areas where casinos have to do more around transaction monitoring, preventative steps, know your customer requirements, and training and education and management and board oversight and involvement in a program. So these are, you know, these are very big areas of compliance, and the guidance is a very good start. And however, there's much more work to be done in the industry, and I think the Gaming Association recognizes that as well, and has published these good standards, you know, for casinos to have a framework to start building out, you know, more robust AML regimes. There are plenty of recommendations, you know, covering developing more comprehensive written policies and procedures that are designed to detect and deter money laundering and terrorist financing, guidance on training personnel who interact with patrons to identify red flags and escalate those red flags to management and compliance to ensure that the casino reports suspicious activity if it's reportable, as well as, you know, guidance around establishing a compliance function, specifically, you know, identifying an executive that's responsible for designing and developing the AML compliance program, as well as monitoring the program and ensuring the program is implemented as well as effective. And then the you know, final component that's expanded upon and in some way is the independent testing of the program. And that's, you know, ensuring that, you know, a third party, could be internal audit or an outside qualified firm, comes in and really tests the program and makes sure that it's operating as designed and there are no cracks in the program that could lead to enforcement penalties or reputational risk.
Does the guide go far enough?
I think it's a very good framework. And, you know, the main question is how this information is going to be implemented. So the framework is there. And I would argue the framework has been there with, you know, guidance from FinCEN around casinos and AML and the BSA and USA Patriot Act requirements themselves around having a program. So I think the key question is, you know, how this information is going to be acted upon, how it's going to be proactively implemented, and, you know, whether or not casinos are going to, you know, adhere to, you know, a minimalist standard and keep viewing themselves as a hospitality and entertainment enterprise, you know, versus, you know, hospitality entertainment as well as this nexus with, you know, financial transactions. I think, you know, one area that could be improved in the industry is, you know your customer, right? And the guidance alludes to it, but, you know, there has to be a more robust dialogue around casinos understanding the source of gambling funds, especially on high rollers, you know, on high cash activity players. I mean, if you look at the banking sector, you know, the banking sector collects much more information on their clients. For example, banks collect occupation information, banks collect employer information, and some even collect expected activity information. So for a casino to really be in a position to understand if their patrons are engaged in potentially unlawful activity or if their activity is commensurate with their capability or means, casinos are going to have to embrace this concept of, you know, collecting more information, perhaps occupation, you know, in certain cases where, you know, there's high volume, high activity. And it seems that, you know, the industry has been really reluctant to embrace that, mostly because people who gamble, they expect anonymity, right? They expect some level of privacy, and they look at the casino interaction different from the banking interaction. But the AML requirements obviously have this know your customer concept, and casinos are going to have to embrace that over time.
What can others learn from what casinos have done or failed to do in terms of AML compliance?
We know there are a lot of sectors, retail, manufacturing, oil and gas, shipping companies, that don't have explicit anti-money laundering requirements, but, they handle large volumes of cash. They handle large volumes of checks. They have many third-party relationships, and so this concept, of know your customer, know who you're doing business with, and making sure that your counterparties, are not engaged in unlawful activity and using your business or organization as a means to funnel this bad money, I think is appropriate across sectors.
That was Fred Curry, a principal in Deloitte's anti-money laundering consulting practice. He spoke to us about the new efforts afoot by casinos to change their traditionally lax approach to AML. That's all the time we have for today. This is Joe Mott, staff writer at Compliance Week. Thank you for listening.